Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN. RepublicBroadcasting.org. It's the deer caught in the headlight of free speech because I don't have anything prepared to say, so I'm like a deer caught in the headlight. But I will be speaking freely and freely speaking, and that's a good thing. So go to RepublicBroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, learn how to send the fundage. It does involve perhaps even a check or money order to RBN, made out to RBN, and mailed to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Round Rock, Texas. Check the website for the zip code. I don't have it memorized yet, but I'm making progress. Today is Monday. It's our day for Mark Hollett. This is the day that Mark Hollett gets in a small little raft and comes across the Atlantic Ocean to talk to us. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It is good to be here. Always good to start my week with you. And we've got it started correctly this time because it is the beginning of the week. I have to miss last Monday, but I'm back now in my regular allocated time spot. So I'm looking forward to enjoying my Monday lunchtime with yourself and National Bugle Radio.
Well, thank you very much. So I made an allusion to you getting in a small little raft and coming across a body of water. That happens sometimes. People get in small little rafts. When I say people, I'm using the term in its broadest sense, almost figuratively. But people get in rafts and go across the English Channel, don't they? What's going to happen to these people? Is there a new change of policy?
Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen to these people. There'll be people waiting for them at the docks. There'll be a fleet of ambulances. There will also be lots of people there giving them warm clothes and making sure they have everything they desire. And then the next thing that will end up happening is they'll be whisked away to 4- and 5-star hotels where they will spend a significant period of time waiting for their asylum claim to be processed.
Well, I thought Rishi Sunak said that these people, what did he say? That these people will not be able to stay? Is that what he said?
No, he hasn't. This is really interesting. This is really interesting. And I'll read you what he said. Illegal channel arrivals will be banned from returning to Britain. Rishi Sunak to announce tough new laws designed to deter migrants from using irregular routes. Now, there's quite a bit to unpack. That's just a headline from the Daily Mail. And I'm actually, while I'm talking to you, bringing up that Daily Mail article. But that is something that, you know, there is a lot to unpack there. This isn't just, good. This isn't the good news
If illegal migrants are not supposed to use irregular routes, what regular routes are illegal migrants supposed to use?
Well, you see, there's a couple of things to unpack, and I'm going to come to that in a second. Now, the first thing that we need to talk about is the beginning of this. Illegal channel arrivals will be banned from returning to Britain. Now, that's very interesting, because that implies that they're not going to be removed, but if they are removed, they'll be banned from returning. It doesn't say illegal channel migrants will be deported. It doesn't say illegal channel migrants will be blocked from entering. It doesn't say illegal channel arrivals will be immediately detained, checked for paperwork, processed in detention centres, and removed if they are found to be entering illegally. It doesn't say any of those things. It says banned from returning to Britain. Well, if people are coming here illegally, firstly, for them to return, they have to be kicked out in the first place. They have to be kicked out in the first place. And that's an important thing to note. And none of these people are being kicked out. So they wouldn't have to return to Britain. You know, once you're in, you don't have to return unless you leave. And none of these people are leaving. So this isn't a new law that's going to actually stop anyone coming here or stop anyone staying here. It would only ban them from returning if they are removed. But if they're removed, which is very unlikely because none of them ever are, how would they return? Well, they'd return the way they came, via an illegal channel crossing again. At which point they're back in the system, having an asylum application processed again. So they'd be going through the process a second time, right? And when it comes down to it, this is no deterrent to stop them coming in. What's more, I find it really alarming that after 13 years of Conservative Party rule, he's not actually talking about getting rid of any of the people that are already here. He's not actually talking about stopping any coming in. He's using these weasel words to attempt to win over anyone who's daft enough or brain dead enough to still think that the Conservatives could get a grasp of what's going wrong with immigration. But then, as part of these tough new laws, he uses the term irregular routes, which tells you everything you need to know about the Conservatives. The Conservatives are fine with these floods of people coming here, as long as they go through a channel whereby the Conservative Party can give them citizenship, give them a national insurance number, and tax them. That's all the Conservative Party are bothered about. They're bothered about using these people as a future tax well, as people that they can draw upon to pay for the massive, massive amounts of benefits that the Conservative Party are granting people every week in Britain. So that's what they're bothered about. This isn't about stopping immigration or even reducing immigration numbers.
But even then, these people who are coming across in boats, they look mostly like black Africans in the pictures I saw, but these people coming across in boats, I mean, how much are they actually going to be contributing in taxes compared to the amount they're likely to be drawing in benefits?
I don't know about that, but what I will tell you is the Conservative Party, like previous governments, have done everything in their power to reduce white British birth rates. They've sent women into the workplace, they've made it unpopular to have children, they've made it increasingly expensive to have children, and they've provided as much contraception and abortion on demand as they possibly could. And the Conservative Party are constantly talking about an ageing population and providing for that ageing population. And one of the things that the Conservative Party does, and it does it more effectively than the other parties, is whereas the other parties simply want an unchecked, open immigration system that's basically just like a one-way revolving door. So, you know, it is a revolving door, but no one goes out. Everyone just pours in. Well, some people go out, to be fair. White Brits go out. Rich white Brits go and live in other countries. But the migrants flooding in never go out. So it's a, you know, it's one-way revolving door for huge numbers of non-white migrants, you know, who are usually men of fighting age. And that's what the Liberal Democrats, that's what Labour want. But the Conservatives want that revolving door to have another stage. When the people pass through the revolving door, they want to funnel them into a system whereby they get given a national insurance number, where they become part of the British taxation system so that they can hopefully put these people to work, tax them, and use those taxes to pay for an increasingly bloated benefit system, which is having to care for an aging white population that aren't replenishing themselves. And that's why the Conservative Party are constantly making these deals with countries like India to bring in huge numbers of young Indian men to work in tech, to work in IT, to take jobs that apparently white people can't do or can't fulfill. And a lot of this is driven by taxation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is, I was going to say something like, this is the German model. I mean, for years, Germany allowed in Turkish workers. I'm thinking when I went to Dusseldorf the mid 1980s, I went to Dusseldorf and, you know, I had been in Britain. I'd been in Wolverhampton and saw, Sikhs, which I thought, wow, I have ancestors from, Wolverhampton. I did not know I was part Sikh. I did not know that. But everybody I saw in Wolverhampton, at least in the schoolyard, was Sikh. And I remember going to France. But, you know, but India had been a British colony. And I went to France, and I went to Lyon, and I saw Algerians all over Lyon. And, of course, Algeria had been a French colony. I didn't realize that Turkey had been a British colony. I mean, a German colony. But I saw Turks all over Dusseldorf. That kind
is
of
Albania a British colony?
I know. Well, and of course, what were Sweden's colonies? So
apparently, Etria. Like, because when Sweden's I went, full of Etrians.
Yeah, I went in 1984. You saw some. You already saw a fair amount of migrants in major cities. You already saw a fair amount of them. But for the most part, they were people from former colonies, which doesn't make it better. But that was just kind of how it started. And now, of course, everybody's getting completely overwhelmed with people from all sorts of random places. But that seemed to be how it started. And I'm talking about, 40 years ago. But what they were telling the Germans is, well, you need, your birth rate's low. And of course, these Turks were not given permanent residency. They were on, working visas. They weren't given permanent residency, but yet these visas were, I guess, continuously, extended and for all in intents and purposes became permanent. I think there might have been a little ripple when there was unification and all of a sudden there was going to be 17 million East Germans who were going to be part of the state. They thought, okay, well, maybe we don't need these Turks anymore. But I guess that was pretty short-lived. Anyway, I don't know why I'm bringing this up. But I did. So the long and short of it is you're not expecting – oh, okay. So Rishi Sunak's making a lot of he's talking the talk. And some people are going to be fooled, but in general, nothing's going to happen. These people crossing the channel in rubber boats and small boats, they're just going to stay. And he's using cute words to make it feel as if to make people who are out demonstrating in the cities against migration feel like something's happening and perhaps stop coming out. Are people going to stop coming out into the streets?
I don't think so, and I'm tapping away because I'm actually bringing up the article itself now. So he says, it imposes indefinite re-entry bans on migrants who arrive by irregular routes. So, again, says nothing. Ministers hope it'll send a strong message and deter indefinite illegal...
Indefinite means the ban could end at any time. There's just no definite...
Now, this isn't us being salty either. This isn't just me and you saying this isn't going to work. These are the top... rated comments on the Daily Mail website. The top says the Lords will block it, the European Court of Human Rights will block it, Loveys will try and block it, a whole industry has sprung up to stop it, and we're all paying for it. The next one says, yeah, we've heard it all before. The next one says, should also be banned from all state monies, including health, education, housing, and benefits. Somebody says, about time. This guy's obviously been fooled by this. He puts, about time. We do need to know who votes for and against this law change, which will help us decide in future who to vote for. Somebody says, make it retrospective. But this is the best comment. It's not the highest rated, but it is the best. It says, what difference will that make? No point in banning them from returning to the UK if they never leave. It would be more of a deterrent if they were banned from receiving accommodation and access to welfare. That's a very good comment. Here's the next one down. More government propaganda, and even if a law was passed, the civil servants and border force would undermine it, and finally a judge would overturn it. This is what people are saying. But the best comment by far was the guy who said, why ban them from returning? They're never leaving. And that is the issue. And the response to this is very interesting because you might just think I'm killing time or filling a gap on the show by reading these comments. You might just think I'm trying to amuse the public or, tell the, listenership of this show that there are people out there on their side. But no, I'm actually illustrating something here. The Daily Mail is Britain's leading conservative newspaper. This is the newspaper that is the conservative paper of choice. It's also the second biggest selling newspaper in the United Kingdom and the biggest newspaper when it comes to online reach. And that is what the readers of their articles think. So those comments weren't written by people who you wouldn't expect to vote Conservatives. Those comments aren't being upvoted and praised by, you know, the left or Antifa or people who, you know, you would traditionally say would want to bring down a conservative establishment. That is how conservative voters now view the Conservative Party. And it's with complete contempt. Nobody believes them. 13 years of being in power, there hasn't been a single change. Things have not got better. Things haven't improved in any meaningful or quantifiable way. In fact, they've got worse. Now, at the 11th hour, they're coming out with some weasel-worded law, which absolutely has nothing, is going to do nothing whatsoever to stop people entering Britain legally. Now, I think if the Conservatives had wanted to come back from the edge here, they would have done the only thing that they could have done. And that would be, say, right, we deployed the Royal Navy to scour the seas and beaches during COVID, and we did that to stop people sitting on the beaches, to stop people going out and actually meeting outdoors or enjoying a little bit of sunshine, etc., etc. However, we're now deploying that force to prevent the invasion of these islands. And I think if they'd said that, they could well have won back some respect from the public. The public may well have said then, right, they finally got the message. They finally got the message. It is time now that they finally got the message to see if they can pull this off. There's going to be a general election in a year or so. But in the meantime, let's actually see if they do this. And I actually think that that is something that normal people would have backed. But at this late hour, what Sunak is offering is so clearly just more of what Boris offered, what David Cameron offers, which is a mixture of lies, weasel words and pandering. It's just what we described on this show before, which is, you know, political positioning. It's claiming that you're listening to the people and that you understand their concerns when you absolutely do not. And I think that statement, rather than winning people over, I think it will backfire. And from those comments, you can see that even the few dafties left that believe them are saying too little, too late. And the vast majority of people do not believe them. The vast majority of people are like, this is absolute hogwash. It's not going to happen. You're lying through your teeth. And that tells you what's going to happen at the next general election. The next general election, we are going to see a landslide victory for the Labour Party. And when that happens, that will not result in what people want. People will protest against the Conservative Party by doing this. And what will happen is that actually invariably vote in worse. I mean, not that it'll be much worse, you know, it couldn't be much worse, but it is interesting to note that
it can always be worse.
It can be worse, but it's interesting to note that is what you're going to get. You're going to get this protest against the Conservative government, and the protest against the Conservative government is actually going to be a disaster.
Well, I recently came across a clip, about a 53-second clip of Donald Trump, who was at the CPAC meeting, the big CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Committee. And in this clip, he said that when he becomes president again, he is going to deport illegal aliens like you've never seen before. We're going to round them up, and we are going to send them out. No questions asked. It was like, wow, you know, it sounds kind of like 2015, like the types of things he was saying in 2015. And I thought, okay, this is interesting, not because, and, you know, I actually think there's a chance he could be president again for kind of the reasons you just said. That people get mad and they're going to throw it, you know, they could throw out the current crew, and he could come.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822, that's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You know, I actually think there's a chance he could be president again for kind of the reasons you just said, that people get mad and they're going to throw it, you know, they could throw out the current crew, and he could come in again. He was so easily manipulated during his first term. I mean, some people would say, well, he's part of the plan anyway. I just think he was easily manipulated and will probably continue to be easily manipulated. So still, I think there's significance in him saying something like that, because maybe 40% of the population is influenced by what he says. And if he says something like that, then at least 40% of the population is going to get the message that it's okay to want to deport illegal aliens, even though I don't think anything like that would ever happen. But the psychological message in and of itself had some importance. So I said, okay, well, I want to hear that whole speech, because I want to hear what else I think he said something about white people too, white people being discriminated against, which people are starting to complain about that publicly, about white people specifically, which he would never mention white people in his first term in office. So I go to the YouTube, and of course it's really hard looking for anything, because like a lot of things are just made, the algorithms make it hard to find things. So I wanted to hear the full speech. So I'm putting in full speech and I'm scrolling down. I keep seeing all of these, a 1-minute, 2-minute, 4-minute snippets or things that obviously are going to be filtered. You know, they're filtered by CNN or MSNBC or whatever. I don't want that. Finally, I get this, something that is a full speech. And I listened to the first 15 minutes of it and I thought, yeah, that sounds like the old Donald Trump. And then I hear him say something, yeah, we're going to build a beautiful wall. Don't you worry. And General Kelly's on top of it. And I thought, oh, wait a minute. This is from 6 years ago. This is the old Donald Trump. It was so hard to find this. I finally found his speech, and I know I'm being long-winded here. I finally found his speech, although it started in the middle. So maybe what he'd said about the deporting people was at the beginning. I never actually heard that, but in the 40 minutes or so I heard. What I did hear is that he is going to basically stop all trade with China and hold them accountable for the deadly coronavirus. So I was thinking, oh, all right, because this is a new conservative. This is what it means to be MAGA now, is World War III with China. And I was wondering, okay, do we deport the illegal aliens and then blow up the world with nuclear Armageddon, or do you have nuclear Armageddon first and then deport the illegal migrants? So, like honestly, and then that whole CPAC, that was a theme for him. All these other people, there's these two people that nobody had ever heard of before, but they're businessmen, rich businessmen running for office, and they're, one of them is talking, he's an Indian, obviously, he's an Indian, and he's talking about ending affirmative action, and of course, war with China. So it's all war with China, but over the deadly coronavirus, and wasn't there something leaking out in Britain where you had some British health minister saying, when are we going to deploy the new variant? And if so, are we going to punish China over that? I don't know. What's the new thing in Britain?
Well, what's happened, and I'm going to talk about this obviously properly, but it's not something I can just sort of dive into. There is sort of a roundabout way to talk about this. Now, what's happened is Matt Hancock, who was one of the people who was, a leading, proponent of the COVID lockdowns, has written or released his biography. I was going to say it's his autobiography, but he didn't write it. He wrote it with a woman who helped him edit it, put it together. Now, during the writing of this book, she was granted access to his telephone, his computer, all of his messages, etc., that he sent during the period that he was in his position of office. Now, that might sound dangerous, and you might be thinking, well, you obviously know what's happened. You know that eventually these things have been leaked. However, he did sign, or she did sign a non-disclosure agreement to ensure that, he wouldn't get embarrassed, to ensure that, he wouldn't end up, in the position he's in. But he has ended up in the position he's in, and he's ended up in the position he's in because she has leaked key messages. Now, the interesting thing about Hancock's messages is some people don't believe they're real. I believe they're real, and I believe they're real for good reason, and I'm going to outline why I believe they're real. Hancock's messages are very much written in a way that backs up what was actually happening at the time. So they are believable in that sense. But they could be good forgeries, good fakes. And I understand that people are saying, well, that just because they look that way doesn't mean that they are. And that's a very good point. It doesn't necessarily mean that. However, and this is the key point, and this is what really gets you thinking, there hasn't actually been a disavowal. Hancock hasn't come out and said, I never sent this. The government hasn't come out and said, Matt Hancock hasn't said this, this is faked. In fact, there hasn't been a single source that has come out and said that. The only thing that people have said on Hancock's side is that the messages were covered by a non-disclosure, and that is in fact not Hancock who is...
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
The only thing that people have said on Hancock's side is that the messages were covered by a non-disclosure agreement, and that is in fact not Hancock who is the one at fault, but the woman who's leaked them who's at fault for breaching said NDA. Now, that is very telling in itself, because I believe that if these messages were fake, there would have been an instant disavowal. There would have been an instant, you know, call for this story to be buried, for this all to be swept under the carpet. But there hasn't been. In fact, the media that are support, or the media and those within the media who are supporting Hancock and are trying to bury this story, aren't burying it from the point of view that it's fake or it's not real news or it's fake news or anything like that. They're burying it from the point that she shouldn't be trusted because she's a nasty person who breaks non-disclosure agreements. So, I mean, I look at that and think to myself, yeah, you know, not really the best point to be coming from in my point of view. But that is their point. Their major point of defense is that, you know, she's a naughty, naughty woman who breaks non-disclosure agreements. And because she's a naughty, naughty woman that breaks these non-disclosure agreements, fundamentally, we shouldn't take this story seriously. And obviously, if you're somebody who has been affected by any of this, or if you're somebody who thinks to yourself, you know, hey, you know, I've had a parent die, or, you know, one of my parents was one of these people in the nursing homes when all this was happening, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you're probably going to be of the mindset that you don't actually give a toss whether she's broken a non-disclosure agreement or not. You're going to be thinking to yourself, I want to know the truth about what was really happening. Now, in Hancock's defense, and this isn't a particularly good defense, but it's a defense that needs to be made nonetheless, because I'm not going to come on this show and say something that, you know, isn't true, or not putting over both sides of the story, is that Hancock seemed to be, if you read his messages, a true believer in the COVID stuff. He seemed to be a guy who absolutely believed that all the COVID stuff was real, and that when he starts talking about, you know, deploying a new variant, he seems to be talking about it from the point of view of scaring people into compliance, of saying, look, you've got to comply with this because what we're doing is for the best of you. Now, that isn't wonderful mitigating circumstances by any means. I'm not claiming it is. I'm not saying, you know, these mitigating circumstances get him out of this, because they don't. But that is what some people have put forward who have read the messages. But what I will say is it tells you something very, very important about the government, that they are willing to lie, to create and spread fear in order to put forward an agenda which the public wouldn't normally accept. But in such a climate of fear and panic and general madness, they would then accept that agenda. And bearing that in mind, okay, I think that tells you a lot about the people who are in charge, that they are very unscrupulous, very awful people, willing to do very unscrupulous and very awful things.
Okay, so I want to clarify. So you're saying that this leaked language, and of course, what is making the headlines is when do we deploy the new variant? That doesn't necessarily mean that the British government was part of some initiative to genetically manufacture a new virus that they released on people. That he might have meant. That he might have been a true believer in this deadly virus, and he might have been saying implying when are we going to scare people with language about a new variant, even though there's no new variant.
That's how I read it. Now, I might be incorrect. I'm not saying I'm the oracle of all knowledge and that, you know, everything that I say is true or whatever. But I read it in that manner. To me, it read that they had not manufactured a new variant in the sense they weren't he wasn't talking about the British government creating an actual virus. He was talking about the British government pretending that there was a new variant that wasn't really out there in order to terrify people into accepting increasing levels of lockdown. So what he was basically saying was, you know, one of these variants, like the Delta variant or something like that, wasn't actually a real variant at all. It didn't exist. He was willing to make up a variant simply to terrify the public. That's what it reads like. But it wasn't like him saying, well, I'm going to get a lab to evolve a variant, then release it. That's not what was being said.
How much of this, what's the minister's name, the health minister? What was his name?
Well, his minister's name is Matt Hancock.
Yeah, how much of Matt Hancock's text messages were leaked? Did this biographer just
all of them dump everything? All of them. It's his WhatsApp history that's been leaked.
Okay, so there's been a massive dump of his messages, and I don't know. And so, has anybody really been able to go through everything yet? How much have you been able to go through?
I'm not going through any of it, Patrick. I mean, I'm not insane. I'm not mad. To go through all of that would be, you know, it would be a mission, to say the least. Right. Now, I'm being totally honest with you. I am not going to be going through all of Matt Hancock's messages. Okay. And I'm not going through all of Matt Hancock's messages because it'd be ludicrous to expect anyone to do that. But what I am saying is
somebody is going to do that. What I'm trying to get at is what is the context? You know, what is the context for this statement, release the new variant, because inevitably there are going to be people who, And I don't really have that much of a dog in the fight because I don't know exactly where this stuff came from. I have opinions about what's more likely and what's less likely, but there are going to be people who are going to say this is a smoking gun, that the government invented the virus, that the government, this was something that was created in a government lab. And I was just wondering, from the context, how much this can be clarified. And I don't know who has the Daily Mail gone through. It was the Daily Mail that leaked this, or it was
no. It's this is one of these weird things. This is everywhere, and I mean it is everywhere. It's so big that you couldn't really avoid it, even if you wanted to. So it's one of those situations where, as I say, I can't stress this enough, it is literally everywhere. And because it's literally everywhere, it's very difficult to ignore it. And it has forced the media, you know, it is absolutely forced the media to talk about it. Now, I firmly believe that if this had just sort of snuck out somewhere, I don't think the media would have spoken about it. I think the media would have, you know, tried to bury this. I think they would have been like, look, you know, this needs to be hidden away. This is only going to do massive damage, not just to, you know, not just to the government, but also to the media. Because you've got to remember, the media were complicit in all of this. And at the time this was happening, the media weren't asking questions. The media were just going along. We must go along with this. We must go along with everything that is being said. They were just sort of robots, almost, like, for the government. They were, you know, every single thing that the government came out with, the media went along with it. It was a time where you and I had a couple of shows where we discussed whether it was, you know, a government-controlled media or a media-controlled government. And I came to the conclusion, I can't remember what your conclusion was, but my conclusion was the two were virtually one and the same. So, you know, the government and the media had now almost merged and become a hive mind. So it wasn't the government controlling the media or the media controlling the government. They were one and the same thing.
Yeah. As far as I know, I created the term media controlled government. As far as I know, I don't know. Maybe somebody else did before I did.
I'm not arguing. I think we debated what we thought it was. Yeah. And I remember saying, I don't think it's a media controlled government, and I don't think it's a government controlled media. I think the two are such a hive mind now. My point was, I felt they were inseparable.
They are inseparable, and you know, the only question is maybe who has more input. What policies or, you know, what talking points originate where? That's kind of the question. But they are.
Yeah,
they are,
I think that's why the media are so desperate to protect this government. I think the media are so desperate to protect this government, because if they don't protect the government on this, it has some major implications for them, because they went along with it. And what they don't want the public saying, which the public are already saying, well, if you're the media and you're meant to be this light in the darkness, you know, there's all this crap, you see, that came about post-Trump, which, you know, democracy dies in darkness. The media are the light that, you know, that tells people the truth, so democracy doesn't die. But then you've got this mainstream media that are absolutely 100% lying through their teeth and doing everything the government says on the issues like COVID, on issues like COVID. And that is now going to be something that's going to be heavily scrutinized by the public, because what the public are going to say, Patrick, and I think they're very right to say this, is, hey, you're meant to be independent. This guy here is talking about creating new variants. This guy here is talking about, you know, essentially duping us into going along with more restrictions. And you're meant to be the guys who, you know, bring light to these situations and tell us the truth. But you're not. You're not bringing us light. You're not bringing us truth. You are essentially, by and large, going along with everything the government say and being part of the mechanic of duping us. And I think that, for the media, is something that they don't like. And that's why the media's initial reaction to this wasn't, it's not true, but you shouldn't listen to it because non-disclosure agreements, non-disclosure, non-disclosure. Well, that doesn't really wash, does it? I mean, she might not be a very nice woman. She might have painted herself as extremely untrustworthy in terms of her conduct in this situation. But whether she's untrustworthy or not, and whether her conduct was not legally correct or was in some way underhand at bringing us this information, that doesn't really matter, does it? You know, if somebody signed a non-disclosure agreement over the issue of, you know, paedophiles being housed near a school, and then all of a sudden they say, look, this is weighing on my mind, I think, you know, I've got to tell the public that there are all these sex offenders, you know, hovering around these school gates, well, I don't think anyone's going to be too angry that that non-disclosure agreement was, was, you know, broken. And I don't think in this case people should be either. Whether this woman, you know, whether you shouldn't write a book with this woman because fundamentally she breaks non-disclosure agreements, well, okay, fair enough. But I think in this case we did need to know this. And as time goes by, the more we piece together about what went on during the era of COVID, the more we can clearly see that we were being duped, that there was this collusion, that the government were working hand in hand with the media to pull the wool over our eyes. And I think it also tells you whether they did invent a new variant or not, whether they did actually lie to the public and say there was a new variant on the loose when there was or wasn't, I think is kind of irrelevant. The issue at hand is that they considered doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt Hancock clearly states, and this is the other thing, he clearly states that they consider doing that to spread fear.
Mm-hmm.
And that for me is a big thing. And I'll tell you why it's a big thing. I know some people, and I'm not going to name them on this show or embarrass them, but I know some people who are relatively close to me that were terrified of this, that were scared, that bought into Project Fear, that were all like, oh my gosh, you know, what if this kills us? What if this is the plague to end all plagues? And those people lived through a nightmare scenario which was driven by lies. And that for those people is bloody awful. It's not a nice thing. And the fact that the government was willing to have these people living in fear just to advance their agenda on this issue, I think is a damning indictment of this government, a damning indictment of the media for going along with it. And it just tells you how awful they actually are. And look, people might say, look, Mark, we know they're bloody awful, mate. Well, yeah, we do. But the public don't always know they're awful. But this is one of those things that I believe shines a big light on just how terrible they are. And I think it shines a big light on why people should start thinking outside of, you know, the current political dichotomy, why people should start looking outside of, you know, Tory, Labour, why people should start reading other news outside of the Daily Mail, the Sun, the Daily Mirror, the BBC, Sky News, because they were all in on this. And I would say the only thing about this that worries me, and there is one thing about this that worries me, and that is that Matt Hancock is made a scapegoat in this. Now, you might think, well, why are you saying this? Matt Hancock is a scumbag. He's a terrible human being. He's a liar. He's potentially killed hundreds of thousands of people in the care homes, because what's also emerged is that they were giving people in care homes who had tested positive for COVID end-of-life care. So if somebody in a care home tested positive for COVID, they moved them immediately to end-of-life care, which is absolutely horrific. You know, if your mum goes into a care home and she's, you know, diagnosed with the flu, you don't bang them on end-of-life care. That's an absolutely sick thing to do. Absolutely sick. But that's what's happened. And my worry here is that it's Matt Hancock who gets hung out to dry. And by hung out to dry, I mean that Matt Hancock is the one who takes the sole blame for this, which he absolutely should not be. It should be the entire government. He's already scrambling around saying that he fundamentally should get immunity for all this. That's what he's saying. He's saying, look, he needs, you know, he needs immunity for this. But when it comes down to it, if he doesn't get immunity and it is him alone who suffers because of this, I would actually be quite upset, because I think a lot of other people Because it's more than one man that runs a government. And a lot of other people would be walking away from this.
Were there other well-known people, cabinet ministers, who were parties to these text conversations? Has any of this...
I don't know. All of this will come out. All of this is going to increasingly come out in the wash. Now, I believe that when Boris Johnson was basically knifed in the back by his own people and got rid of, I believe that, fundamentally, that was going to be the end of this. You know, Boris is the bad guy. You know, he's let everyone down. Boo! Boo! Boris, you're a big monster. Off you go. Right. Issue dealt with. Drawing a line under it. Move forward. That didn't really happen. And I think they might be setting up Hancock for the big fall. But, if he did take that big fall and he took it alone...
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Join a line under it, move forward. That didn't really happen. And I think they might be setting up Hancock for the big fall. But if he did take that big fall and he took it alone, as I said, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve the fall. It's just I believe that he deserves to take that fall with a lot of other people, and not just ministers, not just actual ministers, but, you know, just MPs, government officials, civil servants, people in the media, even leading police officers who enforce this. Mm. I believe that there needs to, you know, this should be something that leads to an almost cleaning of house, in my opinion. Because if there isn't, there's been a major injustice, because these are literally crimes against our people.
They're massive crimes. There's massive. How criminal is it locking everybody in their house and, oh, well, saying you can have a, what was it? You can have a pod or a unit with one other household. It was insane. I don't usually look at comment sections, but I did look at the comment section on the article I was reading regarding this story, and somebody said, this means we need to have a 9/11 inquiry style, 9/11 style inquiry into this matter. And I thought, yeah, because you know how that 9/11 commission really got to the.
Yeah, but this is how I feel, and this is my issue with all of this. Whenever there's an inquiry called, I find it to be a complete nonsense that the people carrying out the inquiry are either the people that are being inquired into, or the people carrying out the inquiry are people being paid by those who are being inquired into. And that, for me, doesn't make sense. You know, if I'm paying a guy to do a full inquiry into my affairs, well, he's probably going to come out with the report that I want him to come out with.
Unless he is that biographer who's then going to leak everything to the press. But, you know, we're at the end of the show. Hey, you've got a big show coming up on Wednesday, right?
I have my 200th show, which is obviously pretty big. I've been going for quite a while. You're going to be a special guest just for 10 minutes. Everyone gets a 10-minute slot, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a 4-hour special. And it's not really 200 shows, as Patrick knows. It used to be called This Week on the Alt-Right before it became Patriotic Weekly Review. And to be fair, that means it's actually been 300 shows. It's actually quite, you know, when I say that, it's a lot of work, isn't it? To say that I've done 300 weekly shows back to back, only missing a show if it came on Christmas Day or New Year's Day, that's not bad going.
Especially seeing is almost all those shows, you get new guests, you get some returning guests too, but I mean, you've had how many unique individuals have come on that?
I've had hundreds of guests, different co-hosts.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad actually, because you look back and you do see that there's been a lot of people come and go in this movement who sadly aren't with us today. And that's always a bit disappointing. But at the same time, I'm still here. Many of the people are still here. Patrick's still here. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. Okay, well, thank you very much. We'll look forward to that and then seeing you back here next week. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Will conclusively prove George Soros's role in orchestrating the plandemic. But first, dear patriots, the truth train has brought us a conspiracy in our own backyard. Now, you may think you know the story.
Now, it's like I always say, there's a whole lot of bullshit out there. So I'd like to give Soros, Pelosi, the Zionists, the Mexican, the snowflakes, and
stay strong, truth tellers. Stay strong.
And we'll rock till the break of dawn. This feels like heaven. Just you and me. This feels like heaven.
You're listening to RBN.
in defense of the Republic.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.